John chapter 4, verse 19 through 24. John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth."
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, for the hour is coming and now is.
Amen.
Amen.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father.
Amen.
In spirit and truth.
Amen.
For the true worshipers to worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
And for the Father is seeking such to worship Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise Him, Lord.
Amen.
The time now is.
Amen.
When the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Yes, we want to experience you in the spirit.
Amen.
Yes, that we may have true worship for the Father.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is spirit.
Amen.
And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Amen.
God is spirit.
Amen.
And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen. Amen.
Must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. There is no other way to worship you.
Amen.
We must worship in spirit
and truth. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
I really enjoyed 1 Peter 2. verse 5. You also, as living stones,
are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
For me, every time I read this verse, it was like, oh, I'm a living stone. And then I skipped the latter part where we also have to offer up something, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I really like the topic, you know, true worshipers. Is it just we come to the meetings and we enjoy the word spoken and we enjoy the singing? It's like, oh, I'm a living stone and that's all I need to do. But also in our daily lives to offer up those spiritual sacrifices and to obey God when He speaks to us. I really like that example of the talent of 25 cents because it's like when God comes back, oh yeah, I believed 15 years ago and here I am. And it's not that way. We have to really go on with the Lord and we can't just give Him back what He initially gave us. Like, oh, I received the Lord, and that's all I need. And I realize that this isn't the case. We really have to continue to grow in the Lord and be those true worshipers.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, I'll also pretty much.
What about standing up?
I did really enjoy the conference, and it opened my eyes in many things regarding how we should worship the Father.
Amen.
As we just read in John chapter 4, that we should worship in spirit and truth. And to worship in spirit and truth is not just saying it, but it's to see the application in our daily living. And as we all enjoy, we need to bring the spiritual sacrifices to the Father, and which are the Father's enjoyment through our Lord Jesus Christ. And something happened to me last Friday. I was after a meeting. I was really tired. But during the meeting, I wanted to prepare something to share. I wanted to bring the sacrifices when I have opportunity to do so. But when I get home, seems like my bed was waiting for me because I was so tired and calling me to come and sleep. But you know, I have to prepare for something. To the point that I was laying on the bed, and then I was having these thoughts telling me to just, you know, wait until the next morning and prepare. But I thank God that I didn't listen to that voice. And I just get up and wanted to do something, and all of a sudden, I just gained strength to do it. I didn't feel sleepy anymore. So it's something that really touches me, that the Spirit is real. If we receive this Spirit within ourselves, we need to apply it in whatever we do, and we'll realize that we can worship this God as it is said, in spirit and truth. And I like this verse, listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8. It says, the Spirit himself
bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Okay, 7 as well.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Yeah, before I started really to work with God, I don't have a confirmation within myself that I'm a child of God. I think it is simply because the Spirit hasn't confirmed to my spirit that I'm a child of God. So if I have no communication with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, I may still have the doubt, wondering if I'm a child of God or not. So it's really important for us to get to know the Spirit of God, who revives our spirit. And by doing so, we can then experience the Lord in our daily living. And by experiencing the Lord, we can bring to all the saints and to God the Father the spiritual sacrifices for his enjoyment.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This weekend, I think many of us had our concept changed regarding what does it mean to worship. Because as Christians, we come together at least once a week to worship. And in our concept, worship means what is it that we can get out of it? But there was no concept that we need to worship the Father so that he could be satisfied, because he is seeking true worshipers. So it's very good that the Lord opened our eyes to realize that, first of all, whenever we come together, it's for God's satisfaction. It's for whatever God needs, what will satisfy him. And surely we know that the only thing that really could satisfy the Lord is our experiences of Christ. So it's not the messages, it's not even a nice song, a singing, or even just our praises, but it's our real experience of Christ in our daily life. And if we have this realization, then during the week, from Monday to Saturday, we are really excited to go and experience the Lord. And then once we experience the Lord, we will be able to bring the riches that we enjoy come together. First, we would then offer that to the Father for His enjoyment. And then surely, this Christ that we experience will also nourish us and feed us. And in this way, we can be built up as God's spiritual house. So this is really important. And I don't know, for some reason, I've never realized this. You know, many times we meet from week to week, even from year to year, and we never come to think, is our meeting satisfying to God? Okay, it may satisfy us. Okay, I feel good, or you feel good, but how does God feel? And so it's really important that we would ask this question. And because if we realize what is it that God is seeking, then it will surely change our living, and that we will really learn to experience Christ in our daily life. Amen. Christ is so rich and so wonderful. And the other point that I was touched concerning is it is not good enough for us to just give the Christ that the Lord gave to us back to the Father. This Christ needs to be eaten. It needs to be processed. We need to experience it, and then there needs to be the surplus so that we can bring it to the Lord. So this is also something very much that was opened up, and I think it's good for us to see, for instance, with the manna, it's not good enough for us to give God the manna, because in a few days, it's full of worms. And also with the talents, we can't just, as you said, just give the talents back to the Lord. But it's really important that we all during the week learn to labor on this Christ that the Lord has given to us and experience Him in our daily life. The relationship in the home with husband and wife, the families, at work, there are many opportunities for us to experience the humanity of the Lord and also the Lord as our burnt offering. And all these things, we all need to really labor and put our hands on it and really go out and plant. You know, it's good to see that we are all farmers. There are something for us to do, and we all need to all labor on Christ. So I'm very much enjoy this conference to realize that, Lord Jesus, we want to experience You, and we want the Father to be satisfied. So may the Lord help us this coming week to learn to experience Christ with all the rich, wonderful offerings. And then we can bring them to the Father for His enjoyment.
Amen.
I want to really share that the Lord was speaking so rich to me during this conference, and especially I was touched by the verse written on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You are our vehicle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. The Lord was really speaking to me that we are the letter the people are reading, and I was just looking back on my heart and on my life, what is my family is reading? I was starting with my family. What are kids looking at me? What do they read? What the people who are around me reading? So I was just start praying, Lord, help me be this living letter,
Amen.
Not dead letter.
Yeah.
And I just remember that from the previous conference, that Brother Sam was sharing the words also from this chapter, which says, the letter kills, but spirit gives life. So I just would consider that we have to all work to be living letter.
Amen.
And also don't forget to put on the Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Well,
I really appreciate the Lord speaking in the conference.
Amen.
I knew within myself, you know, I wasn't very happy with just with the way that we were meeting because of my portion, you know, because I didn't feel like what I was, you know, bringing was something that was edifying. You know, it's like within myself, if I didn't feel pleased, I'm sure the Father doesn't feel pleased. You know, because if I'm offering something that is not glorifying Him, then, you know, I'm just either glorifying myself or just trying to please man. But it really was an encouragement for me, you know, when we read the verses in John, you worship what you do not know. You know, and I want to know what I worship.
Yes.
You know, to see that, you know, our focus is not, you know, through just giving a good message, but really offering to the Father the spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing to Him.
Amen.
You know, to see that the goal is to the Father, that just makes so much more sense to me.
Yes.
And as something that is really impressed in my heart to worship the Father and to continue to produce Christ. Because if we have, you know, it says that we are God's field, His farm, yeah. And we should be producing Christ.
Yes.
This is something that is so precious to Him, so it should be precious to us.
Yeah.
And it really has been encouraging and just very, very healing for me to see it in this way, that our worship is to the Father and our worship is in the Spirit.
Yes.
Something that's in truth and reality. And that this reality that we have is Christ Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really encouraged, and I pray that our meetings will, you know, be very living, that we all have a portion to give.
Yes.
So it doesn't, you don't have to be, you know, so knowledgeable, but, you know, anyone can give a testimony, something to offer. Even Emmanuel, he can offer up a spiritual sacrifice because, you know, we all can experience Christ, and you don't have to be so capable for that. It's something that is precious to you because it's formed in you, and you just offer it back to the Father. So may we continue to encourage this and experience this and be encouraged to follow Him.
Amen.
As we touched with the true meaning of to be true worshipers.
Amen.
And how to be true worshipers, you have to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I was really touched when Grandpa shared, like, you know, God needs food too. Like, and I never actually thought about that ever. And also when you went over spiritual sacrifices a while back, I was like, oh, this is for us that we need, that we always need to offer up. And I was really praising the Lord that Christ is the way, like He's our spiritual sacrifices.
Amen.
And that I was really touched with that the burnt offering is really for God.
Yes.
Like it's not really for us, that all this is God's food, basically.
Amen.
And I was also touched with what Iman just shared, was that like, no matter how small the experiences that you have of Christ or of God, it's acceptable that we need to, just if we have an experience of Christ, that we should really offer it up to Him.
Amen.
And that we shouldn't be afraid or like, oh, this is so small, like compared to something like my dad's shares or something. But it's still an experience of Christ. And I'm really happy that I can, like, that we can all be bold enough to share with everybody, like, what our experience was.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Yeah, I really have to testify that this conference was a real concept changer for me.
Yeah.
You know, for me, worshiping, worshiping the Father was, you know, about once the clock starts moving past 10:30, we have the last beginning portion of the songbook about worshiping of the Father. And I thought the Father was always satisfied with this, right? I thought maybe if we were satisfied with it, we enjoyed the meeting, then the Father would be satisfied. But that's a false worshiper, right? The Lord really showed me what is a true worshiper, right?
Amen.
And it's the matter, as was already shared, is, you know, coming with a spiritual sacrifice,
yeah,
right? It's something that is well-pleasing to the Father. We can't come empty-handed.
Right.
And, you know, it really touched me to the core regarding this burnt offering, right? You know, if you bring an offering, it's not something that just magically appears Sunday morning. Right. You know, it's from the labor, from the experience of the Lord.
Yeah.
All the different experiences of Christ as our burnt offering, or all the offerings. This is the preparation, right?
Right.
And then when we bring such an offering, then the Father can be well pleased, right?
Yeah.
He can enjoy it, and it's food for God.
Right. Amen.
And not just food for God, but food for all of us too,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
It's a feast. Yeah. This, I really enjoy this matter, that it's the keeping of the feast. It's not that we are here, we just satisfy God, but when God is satisfied, His people are satisfied.
Amen.
Yeah, so may we have such meetings.
Amen.
When we come together, may we really have the feast.
Yeah.
This thing that will satisfy God and man.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just like Tu and everyone shared, I think this conference has really been a concept changer. I was struck with the very first question I was asked when we started. And the question was, is God satisfied with the church meeting? I don't know if you can, have you ever thought about that? I think we're always, our orientation is me, myself, and I. Am I satisfied with the church meeting? And even when we fellowship amongst the brothers, you know, are the saints satisfied with the meeting? We're always concerned, you know, we're concerned about ourselves. But never once did we ever consider, is God satisfied?
That's right.
And when you change your orientation to see that God is satisfied, then everything, our priorities, what we do, changes in our lives.
Right.
And I felt like that as we went through the conference, my life was being reprioritized again. Because when you look at John chapter 4, it says, God is seeking for the true worshipers.
That's right.
He's looking for that. He's looking for people like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question has to be, well, then are we the true worshipers? Am I really a true worshiper? And then you have to ask yourselves, well then, because the second question is, what is worship? And I think that is also another concept changer. And again, with the matter of worship, it's all about me, myself, and I. Well, this band is not good enough for me. The choir is not good enough for me. Now, the sermon is really bad from the pastor. Or it may be the other way around. Oh yeah, this is a good band, this is a good pastor, this is a good sermon. But again, it was good. We were being brought back to the Word. Because if God is desiring the true worshipers of God, then He must somewhere put it in His Word what He means and what He wants. And so it's so good to come back to the Word to find out, according to God's Word, what is a true worshiper of God.
Amen.
And what I especially enjoyed, you know, when you look at John chapter 4, God's desire of the true worshiper must be in spirit and in truth. But this truth is not just the right doctrines, but the truth has to be reality.
Yeah.
Now when you see this, this is what I'm saying, it begins to reprioritize your life, because then you realize our worship cannot just be, you know, I just show up Sunday morning, sit down in my natural man and listen. It cannot be. The Spirit is something that we have to live by. Not just Sunday mornings, but Monday through Saturday. To experience Christ as the offerings that was fellowships. And it was also good to see the matter of the worship. Not only is it in spirit and in reality, then what does it practically mean to be the true worshipers? And this is where I really was exposed to see that God is desiring that we would offer up spiritual sacrifices. Of course, we covered this in the conference last year. There were actually multiple conferences regarding Christ as the burnt offering, as the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. And those were very good conferences to be in. And I think in many of our experiences, we began to experience the Lord in this way. And it's good. It's good that we began to experience the Lord in all of these main offerings. But what was lacking, what was missing, is our goal, our orientation when we come to the meeting. We may experience Christ in these offerings, but we might not realize that it's not just for us to enjoy, but it is for us to offer up to God.
Amen.
Because God needs to be satisfied.
Amen.
So in our meetings, in our testimonies, it's not about, do I feel like sharing something today or not? And I appreciate it in the verses. Again, God's way of worshiping, He wants us to come empty-handed or full. Our hands would be full. God wants us not to come to the meetings empty-handed, but would be filled with the surplus, with the riches of the Christ that we have experienced during the week. And yes, Jasmine, you're right. It's not a matter of how much you have to say or how little you say. It's good to see you. Some may have a cow, an ox, and others may have two turtle doves. But it doesn't matter. Because the offering, if it is of Christ, it is something that the Lord has worked in us during a daily life, then this is satisfying to the Father.
Amen. Amen.
And then even more practically, this is the part that touched me even more, regarding how we would share in the meetings. You know, it was good to see, it's a good start to just stand up and share something. Like maybe read a verse, or call a song. That's a good start. But is that really satisfy the Father? Because what the Father is looking for is the Christ that has changed us in our daily life.
Yes.
It's not just that, okay, I enjoyed Christ, I was touched by the Lord as the burnt offering. I think last night we were all quite touched with Christ as the burnt offering because He was the only one absolute to the Father because we are not absolute. Well, it would be good, we could share this to one another, but what satisfies the Father is if we have the experience of Christ becoming absolute in my life.
Amen.
That is the key. Is if my life changes, and it's not a big dramatic, it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing, just something simple. I think it was clear in this conference, this fellowship time, that we need to put this into practice.
Amen.
And so I said, when I heard this, I said, okay, Lord, I want to put this in practice. But I'm not absolute. Lord, You're the absolute one.
Amen.
So right now I take You as my burnt offering.
Yeah.
Today I want to experience You as my burnt offering.
Amen.
To practice this.
Yeah.
To take this word and run with it.
Amen.
That change is what the Lord is looking for. And if you can imagine all of us sharing in such a way with this change, Christ changing us and testifying, my, wouldn't the Father be satisfied? I know I am. Every time I hear about testimonies from the saints where the Lord changed their lives, I am satisfied.
Yeah.
Because I know God is satisfied.
Amen.
Because His purpose is being accomplished in each one of us.
Amen.
This is the true worship that God is looking for.
Amen.
This is a concept changer. This is something that will actually bring the Lord back. Because when we talk about the first fruits, how is it that we can be a first fruit? If we don't experience Christ as all of these offerings, there's no way we can be a first fruit to be acceptable to God. So may the Lord really work this in all of us.
Amen.
May the Lord change the way we even have the church life. This is not a change because we want change, but this is a change because it is God's way. And if it is God's way, it will always be new. God is fresh and God is new. And if He is changing each one of us every day according to His Word, my, the church would be, it would be a glory to God. It would be satisfying to God the Father. Do you want this kind of a church life?
Amen.
Amen, I do.
Amen.
And I know for sure the Father wants it because it's according to what He is speaking and this is what He is desiring. So may this be our experience moving forward.
Amen.
Praise the Father that we have a way to satisfy Him.
Amen.
And in John 14, 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. And in us, nothing good dwells, and nothing in you and I can ever please the Father. But we have this wonderful Christ in us.
Amen.
And he's our new humanity, and he's our oneness with the saints.
Yes.
And everything in him is well-pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
And I had to tell the Father, I don't want you to look at me and see me. I want you to look and see Christ.
Amen.
I want to put on Christ.
Yes.
And I also enjoyed this verse that the sister read. You are our epistle written in our heart, known and read by all men.
Amen.
Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. I want all men to read Christ in me.
Yeah.
Amen. And when I come home from Germany, I don't want my parents or my friends to recognize me anymore. I don't even want to recognize the old me anymore.
Amen.
Because in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord,
Amen.
Are being transformed into the same image from glory,
glory
to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Beholding as in a mirror. That means when I look at myself, I want to see Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I just want to come...
We want to see Christ in you.
what the brother John was sharing, because I was touched in such a strong way. I mean, in so many things that was shared in fellowship, but really this, what it truly means to worship, because throughout my whole life, I never understood that, and I've read this verse so many times, and I just, oh yeah, true worshiper, worship in spirit and truth, and it meant nothing, and I didn't even realize just how important it is, because it's true, like the brother shared, this is the goal, I mean, this is the purpose, this is the Father's desire, is that he needs to be worshipped. And so it was so clear then to see in the Old Testament and the way the Lord commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 12 how worship was to be, and it was not anywhere, but it was exactly where the Father desired,
yes.
And it was exactly how the Father desired.
Right.
But then Jesus comes with this verse in John chapter 4, you know, saying now it's no longer in this physical Jerusalem, it's
right.
in spirit, because
right.
I am spirit.
Amen.
And this was so changed me so much.
Amen.
To see, because we've had all of these conferences leading up to this conference. We've had on all of the sacrifices, and we've had on the songs of ascent, and on this, on the Lord's second coming. Yeah, and on the kingdom. and all of these things where the Lord is just showing us we need to really grow in him, we need to ascend in him, he wants to transform us, and even if we don't, if we're not the first fruits, then we're going to really miss out.
Yeah.
But to me, it was still not enough. I was like, Lord, I feel like this is almost selfish or something. I just want to be a first fruit so I can be with you in your millennial kingdom. And so it still was missing this component of the Lord desires these true worshipers.
Yes.
And he must gain us as his true worshipers. And so I was just so touched by this that it really made me see why it's so important to take the Lord
right.
as all of these offerings.
Yes.
And why it's so important to experience the Spirit and to deny the flesh and
right.
to say yes to the, you know, to the prompting of the Spirit and all these little things in my life.
Yes.
And then the one thing that really did touch me was this idea that we cannot give back to the Lord just what he gave us.
That's right.
So just like the manna in the
yeah.
desert, and
yeah.
the Lord would give it each day, but that couldn't be offered back to the Lord. It turned into worms. You can't offer the Lord worms. But then when, you know, the Jews went into the good land, and then they could go and they could plant their fields,
yes.
And then they eventually get those what was acceptable as the first fruit. This was based on what the Lord had given them.
Right.
And then they went and they planted it, they invested it, they experienced it,
yes.
And then it produced the fruit.
Right.
And then that was what they could offer to the Lord. And so it's so applicable.
Right.
And it was just so clear to me. And,
amen.
And I've already had some experiences with the Lord. But it's so good to see just that the Lord can really stir us up and shows us what he desires so that he really will be able to get his kingdom, build up his church, and come back.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Amen.
I was...
Go ahead.
I want to share something about I came to the church fairly new, so this kind of worship is very different from where I've been going before, and I already feel different. but after this the conference, Uncle John said about true worship, we should not be satisfied what we are now. We still have to move on and keep pursuing. And I want to read this verse in Matthew 13:23. But he who receives six seeds on the ground is he who hears the word and understands it.
Yeah.
Who indeed bears fruit
and produces.
Produces some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30.
Amen.
So how do we produce the fruit and come to worship and bring burnt offerings? As we heard about, come to worship and bring an burnt offering. I was thinking, what should we bring? As a burnt offering. And we cannot just go to supermarket, buy some fruit and come to burnt offering. But this is like a parable of the sower, that our heart is, each one of heart has different kind of, what kind of soil do you have? Do you have stony? Do you have a good soil that can produce fruit?
Yeah.
And if we do not let the Holy Spirit continue to work on us each day,
yeah.
So it's not just we come every Sunday and then we ask the Lord to help us make our soil spiritual. So Uncle John mentioned it's not only the Sunday work, it's all from every day, our daily life.
Amen.
So every day we have to work to try to walk in spirit and
yes.
Listen to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So that by Sunday we have something to produce fruit to come and put an offering to the Lord.
Amen.
So this is what I really, the Lord touched me, that it's not just Sunday goer and
right.
Then come to church, put some money, sing some song, pray, listen to the message and go. But it's our daily life.
Yeah.
That we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. So
yeah.
I'm trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. So,
right.
So
yeah.
It's not easy, but we have to practice to listen, and then eventually it will be sensitive to our ear, to our heart,
yeah.
That this is
right.
The Holy Spirit
yes.
Teaching us. So
amen.
On Sunday when we get together, we have something to offer that we can all grow together.
Right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We want to be the true worshipers.
Amen.
To satisfy the Father.
Amen.
I was really touched in this conference by a lot of things.
Yeah.
But one thing last night that I really saw is the only way to satisfy the Father is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He really is the way, the truth, and the life. And
yeah.
Paul really saw that in Ephesians. What is it? I don't have my Bible today, sorry. according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord Jesus really, God the Father was able to accomplish everything through the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only for our initial salvation, but for everything else from here on till the Lord comes back.
Amen.
We need the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And to really begin to work and labor on Him so that we can offer Him up to the Father.
Amen.
I was also really touched that without the burnt offering, we really cannot satisfy the Father. What Freddie shared, that, yeah, the bed was calling. The only way to obey is to take the Lord as a burnt offering and then to follow the Lord and satisfy Him. Because in ourselves, we cannot satisfy the Father. So the burnt offering really is so precious, to see the Lord who fully obeyed the Father all the time and was one with the Father. And therefore, and the Father was so satisfied, that's why He could do whatever the Lord asked. And He would just do, you know, and accomplish what, together with the Lord. And then also, that in our spirit, praise the Lord for our spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is in our spirit.
Yeah.
Paul really, many times I've read this verse, but here it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
We're just saved. That's not the fullness of God yet. There's just salvation from the eternal lake of fire. But that's not any kind of, not what the Father is after. He wants so much more, right?
Yes.
And how can we, if we're just living our life the way we are, experience the fullness of God?
Amen.
We really need to experience Christ in such a wonderful way. Always growing, always fresh, always new.
Amen.
Something that's fresh and living. You don't want to eat food that's been in your fridge for 2 weeks or that's been frozen in your freezer. And, you know, it's not like fresh food every day.
Mm.
But what the Lord really wants is this fresh, satisfying offering from all the saints.
Amen.
Then, you know, we can really see that to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
May the Lord really get the glory. May the Father get the glory in the church.
Amen.
And if we just go on the way we're going, there's not a glorious expression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and surely He is not satisfied, and He won't be ready to come back to rule reign on this earth if we are not ready, if we're not the kingdom people ready for Him. So may we really be the true worshipers today.
Amen.
And may we all really begin to, if we haven't already, we really need to take the Lord as our burnt offering, to follow Him, to obey Him, and then all the other offerings will surely come into place. But if we don't initially take the Lord as our burnt offering, how can we experience Him in all the other things?
Yeah.
We'll just be sinful. We will just walk according to our flesh. We will do all these things, which is definitely not satisfying to the Father.
Amen.
So, yes, praise the Lord. May we really have such a wonderful time laboring on Christ.
Amen.
Teaching together on Christ.
Amen.
To satisfy the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
I have to stand.
hand up and really read the verses which touched me the most. It has been a real great help for me to see the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things.
Amen.
And is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him.
Amen.
And this is what I really enjoyed in this conference. Even knowing the offerings in our knowledge is not going to satisfy the Father.
Right.
I also enjoyed Galatians 4, where it became different, a different meaning to me, that God sent the Spirit of his Son. And why did he send the Spirit of his Son? Not just that we have the Spirit of his Son and cry, Abba Father, but that we know him. And by knowing him, they worship him. In Ephesians 2, it also says that the Father wants a dwelling place in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it is really a matter of the Spirit.
Spiritual building.
And how can we know the Spirit? By the indwelling Spirit in us. We need to come to him in all things. We need to experience him. This has been such an encouragement for me. Also what was shared, you know, when we are in the church life, and we are in the church life for a long time, we gather a lot of knowledge, and it's very easy to bring out knowledge, but we need the Spirit, because this will satisfy the Father.
Amen.
And we have the indwelling Spirit, and we can come to him, and he teaches us. He teaches us, how do we know our human spirit? By coming to him and say, Lord, show me my human spirit. Show me yourself in my spirit.
Amen.
If not, we can't tell one another, your spirit is deep within your heart. It doesn't work. We have to see it ourselves. We have to touch it ourselves by coming to the Lord.
Amen.
And I was really encouraged that it is a matter of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
We need to know him. We need to come to him. And then the offerings will be a reality for us. And even in many things lately, even in the matter of the gospel, it was always like, I have to preach the gospel. But when I abide in the Lord, when I enjoy the Lord, it is not something I have to do. It is something which flows out of me.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful experience.
Amen.
It was just so normal, so organic.
Amen.
And this is what we all need to experience, the Lord as the indwelling, anointed Spirit, indwelling Spirit.
Amen.
And from there, bring it out, and the dwelling place of God will be built.
Amen.
Yeah, on the one hand, on the one hand, it's not, Lord Jesus, how do I say this? On the one hand, to produce Christ, it's not as easy as just the manna coming down from heaven, as was shared. So there's no offering of the manna. The manna is put in the golden pot and stored away in the tabernacle, and that's it. But to bring the true offerings that are satisfying to the Father, it takes a lot of trouble. It's inconvenient. You look at Jacob when he was raising the flocks, how much trouble he went through, and how much fighting against bears and lions and things that David had in protecting the flock to produce these offerings to the Father. So on the one hand, yes, with the burnt offering, it's a matter we just lay our hand upon the Lord as our burnt offering. On the other hand, we have to really labor on Christ.
Yeah.
So there's these two aspects. Yes, it's nothing that we have to produce, but on the other hand, we have to labor on it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come out of ourselves. It's not that we have any. God gives the growth. And we have to labor. Like Laban, like David, don't take the convenient way. You know, it was so convenient for the children of Israel when the Lord was on this earth to just not bring their herds their offerings all the way to Jerusalem. It's one thing to go to Jerusalem yourself. If you've got to bring a lamb with you or a bullock, that's a lot of trouble to get that thing, and it has to be alive when it gets there. So, but they would just bring their money. It's too easy to give God an offering in the offering box, but this is not what satisfies the Father. He wants the living Christ. And this woman in John 4, for so many years, she mentions our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But that was not what led to salvation. If we want to be led to full salvation, we need to do the true worship that pleases the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And this will lead to full salvation.
Amen.
And again, this woman may have said, okay, we're doing it wrong. Let's go to Jerusalem and do it like the Jews. Let's, instead of offering sacrifices on this mountain, we'll do it in Jerusalem, like the Lord is telling us here. No, this living Christ appeared before this woman and changed her concept. And not only her, but the entire city. They all came to this living Christ and were changed. And yet now we don't have to wait for the Lord to meet us at some well somewhere and change us. He is dwelling within us as the living Holy Spirit that will lead us into all reality.
Amen.
Well, I really thank God for this time. I think it will take a lot of practice and learning. You know, in the whole history of Christian churches, the Sunday worship is, you've come, I've come, the pastor preach, and we just sat there, maybe listening to a choir, listening to a message, and then go home. First of all, you need to really ask, did that help you? Year after year after year after year. I heard so many Christians when they come to the meeting, they just are half asleep. That's what my sister told me. That for over 40 years, she has been to so many denominations, and most of the time she'll sleep. Is that a good worship? Let's say she's wide awake. How about that? Oh, sorry. Thank you. But that's why it's very important for us to see. You know, the Lord said, and the Father is seeking such to worship. How long has the Father, our God, the living God, been waiting for the true worship? And I really hope that we can all be so simple. Do not try to complicate things. And don't try to analyze too much. Right? You just have to really see one thing. First of all, in the scriptures during the Old Testament age, the place of worship is chosen by God, not by man. That means God desires that it's people will be in oneness. Everyone has to go to Jerusalem. This is the place chosen by God. Today, you have so many choices. You can go to this cathedral, you can be Protestant, you can go to so many denominations. Finally, if you don't like any place, you just stay home and worship at home. No, this is not a principle. And only when you and I are really in spirit, today in the New Testament, then we can really be one and not divided among ourselves. We Christians should be one. Paul says, endeavor, do your best to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Today, all this division is not according to the Word of God. It's the work of the flesh. I have my choice, you have your choice. I want to go to Chinese churches.
you want to go to a Vietnamese church, and you go to First Baptist, I don't know, I always go to Second Baptist, and some people were more alive, I want to go to Pentecostal church, I can jump around, and you have your choice, I have my choice, everybody has their choice. This is not God's way. No. No choice. You have to know the living God and to know what He wants. And today, without being in the Spirit and without being alive, full of life, right, without the reality, we cannot be one. It's not possible. And secondly, to worship the Father, you have to bring all of these different offerings, because God says you cannot come empty-handed. And all these offerings in the Old Testament, law in Leviticus, you have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering, you have the peace offering, you have the sin offering, you have the trespass offering. Then you have the wave offering, you have the heave offering, together with the peace offering. And then you also have the drink offering. So many offerings. All of these offerings during the Old Testament days are pointing to Christ, because Christ as the reality has not come yet. So if you read a book of Hebrews, you can see Christ replaces all of those offerings. He is our sin offering. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. When Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist point to the Lord Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. Now is Jesus a lamb? Didn't they say Jesus is a lamb? No, but he's the reality of that sin offering, the Passover lamb. And that's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. Hebrews, Paul says, he is the replacement of the burnt offering. Right. Behold, burnt offering and sacrifices you, Father, have not desired. Because it's just a cow, a sheep, a goat. That cannot save you. Right? But now I come. You have given me a body. Now I have come to do your will. So, and through the offering of Jesus Christ, once for all, my, he took care of our sins. So Christ now replaces, he's the reality of all of these wonderful sacrifices in the Bible. That's why the Lord can really say, without me, you cannot come to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. Because you have to come to the Father with a sacrifice. No. But for the worship, for your salvation, Christ initially, he died for you, yes. But to bring now Christ as an offering to worship the Father, that Christ must be the one that is experienced now by you, grown by you.
Amen.
Must be the fruit that comes out of your experience that will constitute an offering to the Father. Without that, you can say, oh Lord, I thank you, you died for me 2,000 years ago. I really praise the Lord. God says, okay, I sent my son to die for you. But how come you're still you? How come you still live yourself? After Paul experienced Christ, he could say, it's no longer I that live, but
Amen.
Christ who lives in me.
Yes.
How come you've been saved for 20 years, you still live yourself? How come that Christ that I have given you has no effect on your life?
And that's why it's so good to read Matthew chapter 13. Our sister just read, when the seed was sown in you.
If you don't have a good soil, that means you have hidden rocks and stones in your heart, and thorns and thistles, there are other things in your heart. That seed planted in your heart doesn't grow. It's there, that when the Lord comes, you cannot just take it out again. Here, Lord. The Lord says, I planted that in there, and now you're going to dig it out again and give me back the seed. Just like the talent, right? That servant who had one talent, what did he do? He dug a hole and planted that dollar, that piece of talent there. When the Lord Jesus came back, he dig it out again and says, Lord, here, I offer this back to you. The Lord says, you evil and lazy servant. How come the Lord saved you? He died for you. He became your life. You're even born again. The Spirit comes into you, but it has no effect in your life. It didn't do anything. No transformation, no change, no growth. So what are you going to bring to the Father to worship? Just sit there on Sunday, 1 hour, put in a couple of dollars, you go home. You think that is the worship the Father? Think about it. You think God is happy? Okay, okay, I'm sorry, maybe God, $10 is too little, $100, I thought that. How about $1,000? Do you think your father needs... What is God going to do with $1,000? What is he going to buy? $20,000, he can buy a Toyota. What did he get a Toyota for? This is not the offering that God wants. The offering that God wants is the Christ that grows in you. You know, but... in our Christian worship, you come to the meeting, I come to the meeting, bringing nothing. We have no concept that we should bring the Christ, that you should labor on this Christ during the week and experience this Christ, and then you bring it. It's not just for your experience. Then you bring what you have experienced to the meetings, to Jerusalem, to the house of the living God, and you offer it up to the Father. And as you offer that, and you offer that, I offer that, we all offer something of the reality of the experience of Christ. Not just as empty doctrines and teaching, a sermon. So what? Do you think God likes to hear your sermon? Does God need to hear a sermon? No, I need to hear him. He doesn't need to hear me. How come you don't hear him daily when he tells you don't do it, stop? You don't listen to him and you like to come and listen to a sermon on Sunday. And during the whole week in your whole life you don't listen to him. He says, don't go there, don't do this. Stop. Come to me. Spend time with me. You prefer to watch TV and not come to the Lord. And then you go on Sunday to listen to Pastor so-and-so. But during the week, during the day, your whole life there, you don't listen to him. We need a change.
Amen.
The meeting is not coming to listen to a pastor to speak. No. We must be the true worshipper.
Yes.
And to do this, you need to have the concept change. You know, this kind of worship, actually, our Father is so wise.
Yeah.
On one hand, you want to satisfy him, because that's what his requirement is. But really, on the other hand, it is for your own good.
That's right. Yeah.
Because if he doesn't require that, you don't need to come anything, so you don't need to gain Christ. You know, I'm so happy there's a
epistle of Paul to the Philippians, you know, Paul says, I want to gain him. I want to be found in him. I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering. I want to be conformed to his death. And Paul says, not that I have already attained. My goodness, that's such a wonderful outlook in life. You think Paul didn't know Christ? Of course he did. Otherwise he won't be writing Philippians. But when he was writing in Philippians, he says, I want to know him. I must ask, what, Paul, you didn't know him? Oh yeah, there's still a lot to know. Don't think you know Christ. You cannot exhaust the riches of Christ. But we are so poor as Christians. Our experience with Christ is, because he died for me, I'm waiting here to go to heaven. Oh, is that all? What about the whole humanity? The wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is your humanity good? Perfect? Wonderful? Full of patience? You're so patient with your wife. If your wife said anything, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Oh, my goodness. Are you like that? Are you willing to suffer? You're willing to suffer. So, with that kind of a humanity, how can you become the first fruit? That's why the Lord becomes this wonderful food for us to eat. He's the fine flour, without leaven, salted. You know, seasoned with salt. The main function in the Bible concerning salt is seasoning. Of course, there are other functions like preserve, so they will not corrupt. But its main thing is seasoning. Right? Seasoning is for what? To bring out the taste. If you have chicken broth without salt, it doesn't taste good. Of course, don't put a whole lump of salt in there. It's not drinkable. Right? But a little bit of salt, that will bring out the real taste. You know, when the Lord was on this earth, he was really seasoned. You can really see the Father expressed through him.
Amen.
But can the Lord see? Can people see the Lord in us? So our humanity is no good. That's why I, this old man, Paul says, has been crucified with Christ. Now, so what happened? How am I going to live now? I should learn to enjoy Christ as my new humanity.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul says, for me to live is Christ. If you live yourself, you'll always have trouble. Trouble with yourself, trouble with one another. At the end, we divide. You go your way, I go my way. But to enjoy it, not only Christ as our burnt offering, but Christ as the meal offering. Because the burnt offering is fully for God. But the meal offering, it's just a handful you offer unto God. The rest is for you to eat. Because we need that food. So the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, if you eat me, you will live by me. He didn't say, if you believe me, you will live by me. He said, if you eat me, you eat. It is to take him into you, assimilate in you, and he becomes your strength in you. You're nourished, you're filled with him automatically, like our sister says, you just live.
Amen.
But if you're not eating Christ and you want to be like him, it will be the hardest thing to do in your life. For an unholy person to try to act holy, you'll be sweating all the time. I can't do it.
But if you eat the Lord Jesus, that holy food, you eat it, and you are enjoying it, and it fills you up, it is so easy to live Christ. But if you're not eating Christ, do you want to live like Him? I want to be like Him. How can you be like Him? So, you need to experience Christ as that wonderful, fine humanity. That's why the Bible says there are two men. The first man, Adam, is a fallen. The second man is from heaven. So which man do we belong to now? So Paul says, put on the old man and put on the new man. Wonderful. We need a new humanity. But do you have that desire, Lord, change me? I need your humanity. Then with a new humanity, we'll have peace with one another. So, to enjoy all of these aspects is not for yourself, but actually it is. Because if the Father doesn't require it, you will not, you know, if there's no exam in school, you go to school, and you no homework, no exam, I tell you, you won't study. Those days, oh, the teacher is a horrible teacher, giving us so much homework and all that, and the test every week, you like test every week? So, no, right? Suppose there's no test, no homework, you think you don't learn anything. Why did the Father require that you and I, all of us, should bring such wonderful offerings to come to satisfy Him? Actually, on one hand, it is to satisfy Him, but really, in secret, you know, that was His way to help you to grow and mature. Otherwise, you are just a Sunday church grower, a goer, not church grower, a church goer, year after year after year, after 50 years of church goer, you are still the same old you, and even becomes worse. No change. And you still go to church. So-called go to church. Doing what? So we need a change. And it's up to you. It's up to you. I know it's hard to change. So the conference is not just for you to know, but it's for you to change.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
First, I want to say that before the conference starts, I actually really excited about this conference. Yeah, I tell everyone that I know, especially my co-worker, that I'm so excited, even though at work it's so hard, and that day was a really exhausted and really busy day ever. Yeah, but in the end, I still smiling and tell them I'm so excited about this conference. Yeah, even at night, I couldn't go to sleep until 3 in the morning, and then I woke up at 6, 3 hours later. So it's like, whoa, I couldn't wait until this conference comes. Yeah, and yes, this conference is a really concept changing for me. Yeah, before I know that we experience Christ during the week, then bring it back to the Lord. So as a special offering to the Lord, in the Old Testament age, we bring this offering to the Lord and then we burn it up, for the Lord can smell the sweet aroma. Yeah, but I didn't know that's also the food for the Lord. So I'm like,
amen.
Oh. And the other one that I really impressed on is like on the pray I see singly. Yeah. Before I feel like, how am I gonna do that? Pray unceasingly. Even Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day, but that's still not unceasingly, right? Just 3 times. When he went back, when he went to sleep, that's it.
Right.
Yeah, but this conference has changed my concept that we not outwardly pray unceasingly, but spiritually pray unceasingly. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
It's just like breathing.
Yes.
Breathe unceasingly.
Thank you. Amen.